100.7 WHUD. Good morning. It's 8:46.
Singer-songwriter Steve Rabel goes by just his last name. So welcome to Mike and Casey, Rabel. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You know that you're one of the few artists that we actually put a request in to talk to once we started playing 11 Blocks.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
That's the truth.
That is
the
truth.
That's amazing.
You've had other things that have been used in Super Bowls and TV commercials and such, but is this the first big commercial hit, you know, across the country?
Yeah. You know, I had a 10 Feet Tall come out with Afrojack a couple years ago, and like you said, it was on the Super Bowl, and it hit radio, and I got to run around with him a bunch with that, but this is kind of the first thing that feels like it's mine, kind of. You know, I feel, especially going out on tour with it and kind of playing it out for crowds and stuff, I'm struck pretty much every night playing it by, like, wait, it's like my little baby, and I'm like on stage like, look, and everyone's like, yay. It's such a surreal feeling.
Yeah, it is your little baby, and I hope you love it as much as we do, because you're going to be singing it and playing it probably for the next 30-40 years.
I hope so. I'll cross. I'm not looking for some wood to knock on.
Let me ask you this. If you had to thank someone right now for your, if anyone helped boost you into the career, who would you thank?
It's so cliche, but my parents, my family. I mean, I always say my parents are bigger fans of me than I am of myself. They've really been so supportive, and I went to college for almost a semester, and they were so supportive when I was like, hey, I'm going to leave and move to L.A.? Like a kind of question, kind of statement, and they've just really been so supportive. And in those times where, I mean, I've been in L.A. for 9 years now. Things tend to look one way from the outside, and then on the, you know, they get the inside scoop, and through every kind of twist and turn and up and down and all around, they've been such a support.
Well, you know, your story almost sounds like Charlie Puth's story, very similar.
Yeah, with like writing
and then leaving home and going west and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think actually he went to Berkeley. I went to Berkeley College of Music for a bit. I think he went there too.
Yeah, so I'm saying you're like on parallel tracks. You're both very successful.
Well, thank you very much.
So that's the thing to do. Get into Berkeley and then get out as fast as you can and head to L.A.
How? I guess so. That's the trick.
How many other people have you written for? Have you written for others?
Last year I had a song out with Ellie Goulding on her record with the Pentatonix. I actually just had a song come out with Idina Menzel. She performed it on Kimmel the other night.
Oh, you wrote that?
I was freaking
out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, everybody knows. I was in the back of the bus watching it, like crying into my teddy bear.
Well, now, it's funny you mentioned the word crying, because we got one of the best calls recently from a listener. She had just come back from visiting her daughter and was at the auditorium when you opened up for Gavin DeGraw and Andy Grammer. And she said the crowd gave you a standing ovation and like you were overcome with emotion. And what was that night like, if she remembers it that fondly?
Oh, my gosh. That was such a special night. Playing the Ryman for me, I've been going back and forth to Nashville for years, really, writing and just knowing the history of the Ryman and in the songwriting capital of, like, the world, really. We got a standing ovation there, and I started out as, like, oh, look, he's crying, you know, da-da-da-da. And then it turned very quickly for me into not, like, a aw shucks cute kind of crying, but into a full ugly cry. And so I remember just covering my face and, like, my shoulders going up and down, like, full crying. It's my first time out on the road. It's my first time kind of experiencing that feeling. My mom was like, well, what's that like? And I said, it kind of feels like I walked out on stage naked and they put a spotlight on me and then everybody clapped. And I was like, there's no words, really. I was just completely overwhelmed.
And in that moment, you felt loved and accepted and adored and celebrated, and I think you should get used to it.
Oh, well, thank you very much. My manager was like, you have to kind of stop playing the card. Like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. She's like, because it's happening a lot. And I was, well, I still can't really believe it, so. For me, it feels like I'm understood.
And what do you hear from that person who lived 11 blocks away?
Oh, gosh, no words.
Nothing.
No, nothing.
But you have the other person that's 14 blocks away, right?
Yeah, we got the party. I remember on Twitter, somebody drew a map, and they were like, well, if you're here, and they're here, this is 11 blocks, and this is 14. And I retweeted it, and I was like, I didn't go to college. I can't do with the geography.
You're not a city planner.
Yeah, right.
Well, again, thank you for your time, and all the best to you in the future.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hello, this is Rabel, and you're listening to Mike and Casey on WHUD.
11 blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later and it feels too close. I thought I broke the last of that breakdown. The morning I sold your winter coat. It doesn't feel right when I'm grabbing a coffee. The same old spot, but I'm on my own. I feel okay in the day, but at nighttime, you know how I get when I'm alone. 'Cause my mind won't stop, it's just easy.